Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 19 through 24 today. We're almost at the end of chapter 2, and Paul's taking a break. He almost from the beginning is telling the church, you know, I want to see this and I want to see that, and he's encouraging them and he's teaching them. And then he takes this little break and he goes through this time where he's just talking about two guys that were a part of his ministry team. And these are two people who exemplified or were an example of what he had talked about previous. And so he's saying, okay, here's all the things I want to see for you, and here's an example of two people who are living it out. And so the one that we're looking at today, his name is Timothy. And it says in verse 19, Paul says to the Philippians, he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. So Paul's in jail writing this letter, and he doesn't have a way of getting to the people that he loved and he cared about. He wanted to show his concern and his care for them, and he wanted to be able to hear back. So he's writing this stuff to them, his instruction, telling them to, you know, to get along, because there were some people fighting, which, you know, can happen in a church. And there was some things going on that he wanted to address. There was some encouragement he wanted to give to the Christians. And so he's sending this guy named Timothy, and he wants Timothy to relay news back to him. And so this is what he's telling them. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Now, Paul's not saying here that there's nobody in the world who will care for you guys except for Timothy. What he's saying is that he's in jail, and the guy that he believes will care for them is Timothy. He doesn't have a lot of people with him. And there's a lot of people that were around that seriously were just kind of going after what they wanted in life. They didn't really care about people the way that Timothy did, the way that Paul did. And so of the people he had at his disposal at this time, he's saying, I don't have anybody except for Timothy. That's who I'm sending. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel, and therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So he's believing for his release, but he needs to know how they're doing. So he's sending out Timothy to help them. When I first started pastoring in Haldimand about 18, 19 years ago or so, I went to the Haldimand ministerial, and I remember it was a big group of pastors, and I remember I went to one meeting, and then right after my first meeting, that group split. The Haldimand pastors split up, and the reason it split was because there was a group in there that was just kind of getting tired of the same old, same old, and so they had this feeling that the group of pastors that were meeting together, a lot of them were kind of in retirement mode, where it was like you took a country church because, you know, in a country church, you can recycle your sermons. And you can just kind of like take your work from the past and just kind of float through and just kind of go through your retirement years in these little country churches. And so this is kind of the feeling that some of these guys had. And so they started a new ministerial, and they called it HPHGAC. And I always wondered, like, what does that mean? Like, I never went to these because I joined another ministerial in Selkirk. So I always went wondering what that meant. Finally, I asked one of these guys, what is this group you started called HPHGAC? And they said, it's Haldimand Pastors Who Give a Crap. And I thought it was kind of funny, their name for their group. The thing is that there was this feeling of, you know, as pastors, as leaders, if we don't care genuinely for our community and for our people and for the growth of our churches, if we lapse into this mode of, you know, rooting through this recycling bin looking for an old sermon we could pull out so that we can spend more time with our quadcopters, then, you know, then we've missed it. And if we transfer that down to our church members of this feeling, even in the slightest bit, that what we do doesn't really matter to the very core of our being, if we transfer that down, we kill the church of Jesus Christ in that particular community. And the church dies out. That flame, that light dies out in the community. And so they said, let's do something different because, you know, sometimes it's easier to, instead of turn this giant ship around, sometimes it's easier to bail out on a lifeboat. And so that's what they did in that particular situation. But this whole understanding where Paul wants the Philippian people to know that somebody cares about them and that Timothy and Paul genuinely cared for the church in a way that was deep and heartfelt, in a way in which they were really making a difference in their community. They were really making a difference in these people's lives. It affected this church in a powerful way. And people knew it. They knew that they were being cared for when they came to this fellowship. They knew that when they came to the Philippian church, that people loved them and cared for them enough that they wouldn't let them just do what they want to do and leave them alone, but that they would want to see change and life in their church. Last, on Canada Day, we were floating down the creek after the event. Clayton, he did this kind of like impromptu tubing down the Nanticoke Creek. And so he loaded up big tubes, tire tubes on his quad. And then he loaded up a bunch of youth and headed down to the river. It was kind of a last minute thing. And Kaylee came up to me and said, Dad, I want to go. And it was last minute and I was in a hurry and I forgot to grab her a life jacket. And so I said, okay, I'll take you. And so we went with the youth and we jumped on a tube as well. And we were floating down the creek and everything was going good. It was a little crazy. Water was high, some rapids. We came to one part that was really deep and there was a tree crossing the creek and we couldn't get through or under, so we had to go over the tree. So I picked up Kaylee and I put her on the tree and I was holding my camera in my other hand and I got her on the tree and she was feeling pretty confident. This water's deep. It's over my head in this spot. And it's moving along a little bit. So there's a current. And she goes and she holds on to this dead branch and leans on it. All of a sudden, I heard snap, plop. and I was kind of thrown off when this happened. So I dropped my camera. And anyways, my camera and my kid are both in the water. And Clayton, he was behind Kaylee on the other side of the tree. And so he saw this happen. And so he was closer to Kaylee. I was closer to the camera. I'm not trying to justify myself or anything here. But Clayton reached down and grabbed Kaylee. But in Kaylee's mind, this is what she saw. She had her eyes open. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you fall in dirty water. It doesn't matter. You keep your eyes open because you're freaking out. It's just a natural response because you want to get to the surface and see what's around you. And so she saw. She saw what was happening here. And, you know, she sees her father's hand reaching out. And what does it do? It grabs the camera. And then Clayton grabs her. But I knew that Clayton was going to get Kaylee. But she comes home from this, and she comes up to Angie, and she says, Mom, I fell in the water, and Dad saved his camera instead of saving me. He cares more about his camera than he cares about me. And she was heartbroken. She was really sad, and I felt so bad. You know, on the tube afterwards, she was shivering, and I hugged her for about 20 minutes, and I warmed her right up. But I just felt like, you know, she was really heartbroken that her father would make that decision. And so the next morning, I tried to make amends with Kaylee, and I thought, I'm going to smooth this over. And I said to Kaylee, last night I had a dream. I said, you fell in the water, and my camera fell in the water, and you were both sinking. And I said to Clayton, you get the camera. I'm going to get the girl. And Kaylee said, seriously, you told Clayton that first before saving me? And she turned around and she stomped out of the room. And so I went over to her while she was sitting on the couch, kind of like mad. She's joking around a little bit here, playing me, right? Making me feel bad. And I sit down with her on the couch and she says, I get it, Dad. She says, the camera was expensive and I was free. I said, no, Kaylee. I said, yeah, the camera was expensive, but you are priceless. And then she just melted, and she hugged me, and she was like, you know, oh, you're my daddy, and you love me. And she knows that I love her, and I tried to explain the situation to her, but she wouldn't let me go. But the whole picture for me was so clear that what we say by our actions to this world and to the people around us and to our family, what we do by our actions and in what we put value towards, what we show as being important, allows people to realize either that we as a church truly care or that we are more caring about our own things and our own agenda and our own purposes. And this is what Paul's talking about in the scripture. He's saying, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for they all seek their own. They all go after their GoPro camera, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." They're reaching after their stuff and their things and their time and their goals and what they want, and they're striving for other things. And what does it give as a picture to this world? The world sees it, and even within the church, people see that I am not important to these people, and therefore we represent God wrongly when we don't give that understanding that people are important, that people are to be cared for and loved and treasured and valued. And so what does it mean? What does this look like? Angie always says that to me. You know, I'll say something to her and she's like, "Well, what does it look like? You know, what does it look like when you say that in the church? What does it look like when you're living this out?" And I love it that she asks that question, because I think that's important. It's important for us to say, yes, we should care, but what is it gonna look like for us to care for people? You know, Shilstra's up the road here with the Lakeview Poultry. I like the thing that they call their processing plant. They say that it's an added value that they bring to a product, a value-added thing. And so what they do is they take certain cuts of meat and they put it in spices, and then they brown it in a vat of oil, and it adds value to so it comes in this state, and they add value to it. And I love that concept of adding value, because I really believe that when you care, you add value to people. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, because some of you are thinking, you know, yeah, I'd like to, you know, bring some person I know to church and drop them in a hot vat of oil. You know, I'm not saying that's how you add value, but that's how they add value. What do we do in a church to add value to people? What do we do to so that when they come to Sweet's Corners Church and then afterwards on the way home, they feel like they are more than when they arrived? You know, what are the things that we can do to add value to people's lives? And the first thing that it starts with is this understanding that Timothy had, that our purpose as a church is to put our own interests under or aside or lower than the interests of others. That when we come to this place of worship, or when we're out in the community serving and doing an outreach, or on Canada Day, or even apart from a gathering of the church within your community or with your neighbors or with your family, that we would serve each other in a way that our family, our friends feel that we value them more than we value ourselves, that we're always out to serve. And I love the fact that Paul puts it this way. He said that no one is like-minded who sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. It's kind of the things of Christ Jesus. It's Jesus stuff. You know, it's like me saying, you know, when you say somebody's name, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? So if I was to say, what do you think of when I say Wesley, and then you say quadcopter? I mean, the guy's obsessed. You know, right now that's all he can think about. You know, he just can't stop talking about it. His thumbs are twitching from driving the thing. You know, that's what he's obsessed about right now. So what he's saying here, what's the things of Jesus Christ? What do you think about when you think of Jesus? You know, all these other guys are after their own things, but Timothy, he's after Jesus stuff, the stuff that Jesus is passionate about. So what are some of the things that Jesus was passionate about? And Jesus, he was passionate about reaching this world with the good news that he was to bring, that he was the good news of the world, that he was to bring life, that he was to bring that message, that he was passionate about that. And that's why Paul says, he says that he served me with me as a father with his son. He served with me in the gospel, the good news, that together they had this understanding that people have to hear this. They have to know this, that everything that we do is with this understanding that we so badly want to communicate that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, and that you can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life and life in him and life more abundantly. And that when we serve people, we have this in the back of our hearts and minds, that it's always there and it affects everything that we do, that we want to be people who bring out the gospel message in people's lives and in their hearts by the way that we live, by the way that we conduct ourselves, by the way that we live out this life as Jesus lives his life through us and in us. You know, Paul was bailed out on by many people. When your buddy tends to get shipwrecked and whipped and thrown in jail quite often, you tend to, you know, think, I'm just going to stay clear of this guy, right? So a lot of people just bailed out on Paul. They said, you know, what the life that you have chosen to live for Christ is too difficult. The sacrifices you make are too much. I'm going for an easier route here. And so Paul oftentimes felt alone. But with Timothy never left Paul. He never abandoned him. Timothy was like-minded. They both had this understanding. They had the shared values that the gospel was imminently important to people, that the gospel message was worth suffering for. It was worth dying for. And they had it to the depth of their core. So when Paul says Timothy was like-minded, he wasn't saying, you know, Timothy and I, you know, we finish each other's sentences and we think exactly the same. What he's saying is that we're equal-souled is the word. Equal-souled. In other words, we value the same things. They might choose different ways to get to the same conclusion, but the conclusion is always that Jesus Christ is awesome. That Jesus can do anything, that Jesus can save you of your sins, that God is powerful, that God cares for you, that God loves you. And they both had that to the depth of their soul. And so they had this camaraderie, this sense of connection together, where Paul, when he could send Timothy to the church, he could just have this sense that I trust this guy. I trust this young man. I know that he will go there with the best of intentions because he has the intentions of Jesus Christ. I know that whatever he does, he might not do it exactly how I do it, but whatever he does, his end idea or result is that he wants to see people come to right relationship with God. He wants to see the church grow. He loves the church. He serves the church. And this is what Paul is setting before us as an example to say, this is what he wants for us, for our lives. You know, one commentator on this passage says that we live in a Humpty Dumpty world. It had a great fall. You know, and it's just a, you know, I know it's a silly little poem, but sure, it had a great, great fall, and it's been shattered, and it's broken, and people are broken all around us. You get this incredible sense when you meet with people who don't have hope, that don't have Christ. You know, sometimes they look good on the outside and they might have a great career goal and they go in the right direction and everything seems all fine on the outside, but at the core of their being, they're shattered, they're broken people. And when you show that you care, when you show that you are genuinely concerned for them as a person, and you show that love that Christ brings, there is this amazing thing that happens. That person can recognize that love. They recognize that caring, and it gives opportunity for you to present the gospel of Christ. You know, there's all kinds of situations all over the world where people bring division to churches because of selfish motives. You know, when I was growing up, I went through a church division, and I remember it was just the fact that, you know, two pastors just wanting, you know, both wanting to be number one pastor and pulling a church apart and dividing a church. And I look at Paul and Timothy, and I realize that would never happen with these two. These two would one of them would die before ever, you know, having that type of attitude of selfish motive and selfish ambitions. And yesterday I was talking to a family at Peacock Point, and they talked a little bit about their experience of going through division in the church and how difficult it was and how it brought such a heaviness on them, and how it affected their childhood. And I just thought, you know, as a church of Jesus Christ, that we would always show that we as a church are united in Christ, that we're passionate about showing the love that we have for each other, that if we have differences, that we always resolve those differences for the common purpose of what we have in Christ Jesus. So what does caring look like? You know, I see it all over in our church, you know, providing for the hungry. This church started a food bank. What a cool thing that we started a food bank. Now that food bank needs a new home, they lost their building. So they need it by October. And so if you're up for buying them a new building, we would appreciate that. But what a great thing to be feeding people in our community. I see people in our church who look after their aged parents, you know, and go so far with that, with showing reverence and respect right to the very end, you know, giving their time and their energy. Whereas a lot of times people just abandon their parents. And I just see that's such an honorable thing to love your family in that way. I see people helping hurting teens in our church, ministering to each other, encouraging each other, building each other up. And I want to see that continue as being that this church is defined as being a church that cares, a church that gives a crap, a church that makes a difference in its community. And that every time people come into this church, when they leave this place, they just feel I have been value added. I just feel like I'm more than when I came into this place today. I feel there's people that love me. I feel like I've learned some truth that could bring freedom to my life. I've been given this picture of this God who gave his life for me. And I really believe that as we continue to build this as a church and have this as to the deep roots of who we are as a church, as more people are added, that all of them catch on to this. Then I believe that God's going to do amazing things, continue to do amazing things in and through Sweets Corners Church.